then we would love to hear it. Otherwise, we will be done in about 15 minutes, and then we'll have time to chat.
Thank you. Do you have a release I can sign? Okay, and I at least am being taped. Although, see, this is funny because they're actually taping this cable right there. If you look at the camera. So. Hi, nice to see you. Okay, good. So what I want to do is I want to just talk briefly about some tips that I have for you on how to get more traffic to your website. How many people here have websites? Does anyone here not have your own website for your company, your business, whatever? You don't.
Don't.
And what do you do that you don't have a website?
You're the photography.
So you don't have a portfolio or anything? You have nothing online?
I have some online galleries and things like that.
And are those like in Flickr or stuff like that?
One's with the magazine that I work for, and then some others are with like other magazines and stuff, but not my own personal website.
Okay, but it would nonetheless be the case that if you got more visibility online and more traffic, it would be beneficial, right? Both for you and for your publication. So good. So then everything we talk about hopefully will be applicable to everybody. And with that, assuming the iPad is friendly. Yes. Okay, so number 10, I'm going to do this in reverse order, a la David Letterman. You'll see why in a little bit. The first thing I will suggest that people do, and the tips that I'm going to have, some of them are out of the classes that I teach here, and others are, I think, just good ideas, and perhaps at least one of them are like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that, and that's okay. So the first one is keyword research. And here's something where I think a lot of people don't realize that there are tools out there that, without actually having to pay any money, you can actually do all this research and digging into being able to identify what words and phrases people use when they search for your kinds of products or services. And here's where that can be a problem. Let's say you're of European descent and you have a store where you're selling mobile phones. So you design your whole website and everything there is all written about mobile phone, mobile phone, mobile phone, mobile phone. Problem is that your customers don't look for mobile phone, they look for cell phone. So what you can do is you can just say, well, I know my customer really well, so I can just guess at all this stuff and I can figure out what are the key words and key phrases that they're going to use when they're looking for my product or service. If that works, that's awesome. But if it doesn't work, you could be losing a lot of business, a lot of traffic, a lot of opportunity to convert because you just don't know how do my actual customers actually think. And the other half of that is that it's also the case that the people who are your potential customers but don't find you are a whole nother category. So now imagine that you only see 10% of the searches that are in your market segment. The other 90%, they just never match you. So there you are and you're running something like Google Analytics. Hopefully everyone's running some sort of traffic stats or analytics package on their site. Is anyone not running anything? You just have pages up and you don't really know what's going on?
Don't pick on me.
So go beat up your webmaster. And if you are your own webmaster, then you need to go to google.com/analytics. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, here's like the key secret thing here is look at your analytics. Don't just install it and say, cool, now I'm running, you know, these great stats package. But how do you know what you don't get? And the answer is you can go and do research. And so I really like a service called Word Tracker. If you go there, there's a free research subset that they can do. It's a fairly expensive package. You can also sign up for a Google AdWords account and go through all the back end of setting up an ad and look at all the keywords that it shows. And basically it'll show you, like, if I do cell phone two words, here's how many people will search on it in a month. If I do cell phone one word, here's how many people have that in their search. If I do mobile phone, here's how many people have that. And so you can quickly say, holy cow, cell phone searched 30 times more often than mobile phone. So we need to go and revamp our whole website. And if you think about that, that totally is logical. It's just like saying, I want to open a restaurant and I need to figure out what kind of food do people like to eat. That's the smart restaurateur. The other restaurateur is the one who says, well, I trained in Paris and I'm going to serve this kind of food and people will find me. Sometimes that works. But generally what happens is no one actually goes to the restaurant. There was a organic place up in North Boulder right by me where I remember my buddy and I went in one night for dinner and they just served really esoteric vegetarian things. And we looked at the menu and it was just like, there's nothing here we want to eat. And I think we ended up at Subway or something, which you know, which was still a better alternative because at least we looked at the menu and it was like, yeah, I could eat a tuna sandwich. And so what happened is they went out of business. So you really need to be able to understand what your customers are doing and thinking. So that's number 10 on our list. Number 9 is Create Controversy. I like this comic. I just found it online. So for the, I'll give you a second to read it.
That's from Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
It's from what?
Winston Churchill.
Is it really?
Oh, okay, good. So now we know that's from Winston Churchill, which makes it even cooler. Because that is very much his sense of humor. But one of the ways that you could actually get traffic to your site is to say something controversial. If you're in an industry where there is a lot of debate and argument about things, then come out with a position on it. Like with photography, one of the big issues is, should you alter and adjust and tweak your photographs? You know, should you move around that palm tree in the background to get the balance of the image to be right? Well, come out and say, yes, you should, because this is art. And now you have some controversy, and you'll get a lot of traffic from that kind of thing. My experience is that when I just write middle of the road, it's just like, yeah, whatever, you're saying the same thing everyone else is saying. But as soon as I come out with a position, then it becomes much more interesting. So another possibility for generating traffic is to actually think about, in your market, what are the kinds of things people are passionate about, and how do you feel about that? You know, a lot of times you hear this sort of theory that you never want to take a position on anything unless you alienate some subset of your customers. But if it's something you feel passionate about, then you know what? Go for it. Because the customers you gain by having an opinion might be far more than the customers you would ostensibly lose, and maybe don't lose, by having a particular position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, cover local events. I love this sculpture. I hope you're all familiar with it. This is something where you look at something like the Daily Camera or the Boulder Weekly or the Denver Post, whatever. They really don't have the resources to cover everything. So not only is that true from a geographic perspective, but also in a professional perspective. If, you know, in a given market, there are probably publications of records or websites of record. They don't cover everything. They can't. So if there's a local group, if there's a company doing a press announcement or something, then you go and you write about it. In fact, you could actually go and cover a local event and then contact one of these publications and say, are you interested in me writing about this for you? And a lot of times they'll be like, well, sure, you know, you can contribute. That would be great, because we're not going to send anyone to that event. This particularly gets to be a challenge covering high school sports if you're in that space, because there are a zillion sporting events. And so if you have 2 reporters and they cover other sport beats too, then how do you ever cover any high school football or basketball games? So if they knew that there were some parents that would be able to write reasonably good coverage, then that would be something where you could gain a lot of visibility, either by doing that for your own blog or your own site or maybe on Facebook or whatever, or by actually seeing if you could contribute that to those publications. Yes? No? Good. So, okay. Coming up, number 7, I told you we'd get to David Letterman, is create enumerated lists. If you ever go to the self-help section in the bookstore, for those of you that still go to bookstores, or if you search on Amazon because you can't deal with physical things, it's quite hilarious how many books in the self-help area are enumerations. 7 habits, 10 this, 14 this, 9 this, 12 this, right? And the reason is because people like that. People like the idea that, okay, I can wrap my hands around this. I'm going to read this book, and then I'm going to have 5 core ideas that are going to make me more successful, or 7 things that are going to make my relationship better, or the 5 languages of love, whatever it is, something that I can sort of get my hands around. So in your market, there might well be similar sort of things where you could just say, here are the 5 key tips to do really good portraits when you're taking photographs. 7 must-dos for taking pictures of children. 4 ways to get great photos in a rainstorm. Things like that. Enumerate your lists. And it just seems to be a magnet to have people link to it and to reference it on their social media. So you write something like, you know, 4 ways to take great photos in the rain, and then people might be sending Facebook status updates saying, hey, check it out, this is really interesting. And now you're getting that traffic because you've just produced some intelligent content. So don't underestimate numbers. How many people go to informal meetings? I mean, obviously you're here, but how many of you go to evening or lunch meetings outside of your job? That's awesome. The rest of you really should do that. I found that it's an incredibly good way to gain visibility And gaining that visibility means that you can, for example, barter favors. Hey, could you link to my latest thing? And then when you have something new, I'll link to that. Or you just meet people. You know, you expand your network. And sites like meetup.com and Facebook certainly is now getting more and more and more events. And Facebook's working on actually integrating with your personal calendar. So you'll have one place that will be both your personal material and the public material and events. So definitely worth checking out. I will have to say I have no idea who these people are. This is not a meeting I attended. So this could be a meeting of people that don't like to go to meetings. Though since there are two Macintosh here, that's probably not true. They probably really are the meetings. But Google Groups is another really great place. It's a little unsung, but groups.google.com. They have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of different groups, and pretty much whatever you're into, there's probably other people into it too. Even if you're, you know, quilting pattern designs, or, you know, even just, you name it. Whatever it is, there are other people out there that are interested in the same thing. And not only could it actually help you meet people and network, but it also sparks ideas. Where you go to these sort of things and it's just like, oh, we had this big conversation about this. I never realized that that was actually such a controversial topic in my market. So let me actually see if I can leverage that, if I can tap into that, if I can help my customers understand that. So, number five, create a blog, obviously dear to my heart. For those of you that don't know, I actually run five blogs, one of which is, I'm pretty sure, the most widely read blog in Colorado, which is Ask Dave Taylor, ingeniously named. I think blogging is awesome because what it gives you your own bully pulpit. It's your own newspaper, and you can write anything you want, however you want, and present it however you want, and design it however you want. And once you've done that, then you can invite people to write for your blog. Or one of the things that I really like to do is I like to contribute to other people's blogs. And that's all the way from the Huffington Post, which is extremely well known. They take guest contributions all the way to really just about any blog. Bless you. See, I think you're actually allergic to being in a classroom with so many people. So I apologize for that. So everyone else, if you all leave, she could stop. No. So if there are blogs of record in your market written by trusted authorities, the kind of people that are always quoted in the newspaper or something, email them. Say, can I write something for you? You'd be surprised how often they'll say, yeah, that would be great. The thing is that if you're going to write something for someone, you need to make it really good, and it needs to not be published anywhere else. So you can't say, I'm going to send you some marketing collateral pretending that it's an article. Because obviously they're going to be like, no, delete. They're not even going to communicate back with you. But if you send good content and you have a good query, it's pretty amazing the places you can actually get published. And one of those is worth so much. You know, if you could get a guest entry in like Business Week's blog, or have them somehow engage so they want to interview you for their site. Even if it never shows up in the print publication, one link from a site like that is worth hundreds of little tiny links from sites no one's ever heard of, right? Because it's the trust and credibility and authority. So definitely worth checking out for both of those. And I think that, just out of curiosity, how many people have a blog or contribute to a blog now? Okay, cool, so that's a third to a half. So the rest of you, it's really easy. If you can send an email in Hotmail or AOL, you can blog. Which leads to the subsequent concept there. And I just love, this is just one of this great title, Headless Body in Topless Bar. Gunman forces woman to decapitate tavern owner. It's like, what a great job writing these headlines. So it is interesting to note that at newspapers, at least traditionally, there is one person whose job it is to write all the titles and headlines. Because there's an art to it. And the thing is that what you really want is you want a headline that both catches someone's attention and conveys enough information that it sets expectations for what the content's going to be about. I mean, when I read this, it's like, I don't even know what this is about, but I want to read the article. It's just, I mean, wow, it really grabs my attention. Conversely, most people who write online do a terrible job of their headlines. They will have a headline like, Day 3. Day 3 of what? Day 3 of me attending the Home Builders Association Conference in Las Vegas. Okay, well then make that your title. So now your headline is Home Builders Conference Day 3. Okay, now at least it's getting better because number 4 ties all the way back to number 10, which is what we talked about at the beginning, which is keywords. So keywords are like proper nouns. They're the things that people are going to search for. And one of the goals to get more traffic to your site is to be able to match how people are looking for the kind of information in your market or in your area. So create great titles, create great headlines is all about what do my potential readers want to read about. And this, you know, really one of the things that I'm getting into here is there's this whole mind shift you have to go through to be successful online, in my view, which is you need to stop writing about what you want to sell and write instead about what your customers want to read. So, a quick example of that. Let's say I run a ski resort here in Colorado. What I could do is I could have a blog associated with my site, and on that blog I could write about, well, here's the 3 famous people that came this week, and here's the special package we're offering, and here's the discount we have on next year's ski pass, and here's what we're featuring this week at the ski store, and all this sort of stuff, and it's all me, 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 me. It's all about us, all about what we want to sell. That's not very effective. It might be the kind of thing that Joe from marketing, who used to work at Procter & Gamble, thinks is really good. But the reality is that what you want to do is you want to catch the attention of the people that then might become your customers. So instead, if I was running that ski resort, I might have articles on things like how to fit a snowboard to a little kid's foot. How do you teach kids to switch between a snowboard and skis without crashing all the time? How do you survive driving up I-70 Friday night? You know? Now we get into the controversy. They might come out and take a position on, I don't know if you've heard this, but there's this whole great debate going on I-70 about having a temporary middle lane that would switch directions based on traffic, which to me is not a bad solution given how expensive it is to build more lanes on I-70. But there's great controversy. So as a ski resort, I would want to put myself right in the middle of that. I would want to come out and say, hey, I think we really have to do this. I-70 is a nightmare. People come to, you know, get to our resort and they're in really bad moods. And it's supposed to be fun. Or worse, they leave at 2 in the afternoon on Sunday hoping they'll get home in time for, you know, that late night show on TV. It's a 2-hour drive and it takes them 7 hours.
Or they don't go at all.
Right, or they just bail. You know, so all this sort of stuff, it's controversy. You know, doing good titles helps people catch it, and then you can actually get the attention, and maybe you could be quoted in the newspaper or something. I would say not a month has gone by in the last 4 years that I haven't had a cold query from a journalist of some media sort or the other saying, I see you're writing about this topic. Can I call you and interview you about it? Sure. And the reason they find me is because I actually pay attention to things like titles that are keyword-rich and really target the market I'm interested in, as opposed to what I want to write about. Does that all make sense? Again, it's a real fundamental shift on, if you will, the locus of control. Right? I'm not sure I'm supposed to use some of the big words. kidding. Number 3 is, here's something that, again, is a little controversial, but submit content to article directories. All of these are article directories. All of these are places where you can actually write some stuff and put it out there, and people will take your content and republish it on their site. This is a catch-22. For those of you that have been in my SEO classes, there's a duplicate content problem. But if you never actually produce this content and publish it on your site too, in other words, you write stuff just for those directories, you're never affected by the duplicate content. It's the sites that publish your stuff. But even then, you still can get inbound links, which is great, great stuff from a search engine perspective. You can still get inbound links for very little cost and effort. So these are worth checking out. And if you want to just do one, I will say my friend Chris Knight runs eZine Articles, and he does a very good job with it. Yeah?
Will all of those article directories let you give a backlink to yourself when you submit the content to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that in fact, that's sort of the whole... That's the relationship, is that you give them free content, ostensibly pretty good, and the very bottom of it is a little bio line that says, you know, Mike Smith, you know, runs this company, and there's a link, and specializes in such and such, and there's a link. And the deal is if anyone takes any content from one of these sites and republishes it, then they have to include that bio line. So they include those links. So the idea is, it's just like you're giving money away on Pearl Street, but for everyone that takes the money, well, you have to come in and actually spend it on appetizers at my restaurant. So there's a string attached. Now, you can't force it. And some people will take these things and just delete the bio, and have then now you've written content for them to pretend is theirs. Whatever, you know, that's just the price you pay. But definitely this can be something where you can write really just fast, short articles. I mean, three paragraphs is probably about the norm on these sites. It's really not something where you're saying, well, you know, I'm writing for The Economist and it's 114 paragraphs and it's going to take me 3 months to get it right. No, this is really quick, dirty stuff. I would never get content from this for my sites, but that doesn't mean this isn't a valuable way to get content out there to other people's sites.
Do you have to pay them to submit to this?
No, it's all free. They make the money on the ads that they serve up, and sometimes the membership fees for the publishers, not the authors. So generally, my experience with those is that it's pretty cool. Number two on our top 10 list is optimize your site for search engines. This is a huge, big topic. However, I will say that is the cart. No, that is the horse, not the cart. I'm not sure what it is. It's one, but not the other. Really critically important which one, though I don't know. So you need to understand that in the modern times, people use search engines to find content, to find businesses, to find service providers, to find products. That being the case, the more you can match what you produce with what the search engine wants, the more chance you have of being found. The more chance you have of being found, the more ability you have to actually generate business. So I hope that's a fairly straightforward equation. So the general term for working on designing your site and your content to be more friendly for search engines is called search engine optimization. And a really great place to start is to go to Google, and this is Google's logo today. I'm not sure whether it's the anniversary of some clunky-looking old satellite. Oh, it's the Hubble? Okay. Oh, that's cool. And go there and just type in Google Webmaster Guidelines. Because Google tells you, here's what we think you should do to be maximally search engine friendly. It's a great place to start, and it's free. Well, that's good. And don't forget to also go and look at how they do advanced search, because how Google thinks about how you might categorize your content for an advanced search tells you a lot about how it thinks about content. So, for example, Google pays a lot of attention to how old content is. Given that Google pays a lot of attention to how old content is, that tells us, as content producers, that we need to have new content. So, if you have a website that someone built for you, and you put it online and you went back to your job, and it's just been sitting there decaying and getting old and dusty, you know what? It's going to get old and dusty and decay in Google, too. And so, over time, everything else being equal, your site is going to gradually have worse and worse placement. So you need to keep refreshing your site. You need to add new content. You need to keep things lively. That's, again, one of the great benefits of a blog is it makes it really, really easy for you to add content. So, therefore, you will more likely add content. If you have it where you produce a page in Microsoft Word and you email it to your webmaster and 4 months later she finally gets to it, you learn really quickly, forget it, I'm not adding content. And then your site slowly decays and dies. Like a satellite slowly hitting re-entry. Okay, and in the number one position is participate in your market, which is to say be online and engaged in social media. This does not have to be a full-time job, but this is just a small subset of the extraordinary number of social media sites that are out there on the internet. And of course, I think probably the one most people spend their time on is, I can't. Facebook's here somewhere. It's not. Oh, here it is. Cunningly hidden right in the center. So Facebook by itself can be a tremendously successful market. They have, what, 370 million users now? It's a big space, and over 50% of them are not based in the U.S., which offers up a lot of interesting opportunities. Facebook lets you do really, really nice event scheduling and planning, lets you create groups or fan pages. There's a lot you can do on Facebook. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. And the way I look at these is I look at each of these as its separate universe in the same galaxy.
Because the thing is, if someone's really hanging out a lot on YouTube and they need a plumber, they might search YouTube for plumbers. And you laugh. Go on YouTube and search for plumbers. You'd be surprised at what videos show up. Because really savvy plumbers are putting up 3-minute how to unclog your sink videos. Totally makes sense. And then it ends with a link to their website. Brilliant. Because if you think people aren't going to leave that universe unless they have to, then why not have a presence there? Have something there. Have a signpost. I mean, I'm on MySpace. I check in about every 4 or 5 months. But I have a profile there, so if people search for the certain criterion that I match, they'll find me, and it then says, please come to my website. I don't hang out here. Sure, better than nothing. And I get a lot of traffic from that because I can see how that works. And I will further say that some of these you look at and you're like, Lego Universe, World of Warcraft, those aren't social networks. Oh, the heck they aren't. They are great social networks. They are very interesting. They might not work for your market, but that doesn't mean they're not things that your customers aren't interested in. So again, I will say that my sort of overall summary is understand your customer and meet their needs. And if you can do that well, then you will generate lots of traffic. And if you do that well, then you will be rocking and rolling. So, since this is ostensibly an ad, I will end it with a little tiny of an upsell, is that I teach SEO and marketing with social media classes here, and the marketing with social media is this coming Wednesday, and I think we have like 2 or 3 seats left. It's a very popular class, but we really dig into things like Twitter and Facebook. So with that, any questions?
Is this presentation available on your website or online anywhere?
It could be. If you give me a note or something, I'd be happy to email you the slides.
Got it.
I can do that. Other questions? Observations? Examples? Case studies?
Which of these are you doing on Wednesday?
The one I'm doing on Wednesday is this. I did this last Wednesday. I did that 2 Wednesdays ago. So we've just sort of boom, 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 gone through the sequence. Yeah?
If people want to write for a local world magazine, follow your advice and do that. I run something called BoulderReporter.com, and people might want to look at that. I'm looking for content providers.
Great, so here's an offer. BoulderReporter.com, write content that's relevant for your site, you'll publish it, and you'll give them a link back to their site as part of the bio, right?
Correcto.
Right, and Google counts those links really, really highly. In fact, Google originally started out as simply a voting process. Is the pages that had the most links pointing to them had to be the best pages. That was where it all started. So we go into that. In the SEO class, I talk about what Larry and Sergio were doing when they came up with Google while they were grad students at Stanford. Anyway, that is our time. Thank you all very much for your attention, and I hope you enjoy our day at EDA. Thank you. And yes, we're aware it gets warm in here.
If you could email me on the slides.
So scribble that on the back, please, so that I don't forget.
Right.
Thank you.
Can I post this as an MP3 on Boulder Reporting?